A very good evening. Our scripture text is taken from Luke 19, and the chairman has read that portion of scripture to us, and I've entitled my message, Occupy Till I Come, and you know that the theme is taken from verse 13. All right. Now, I want you to, first of all, see the context of this parable. All right. In verse 1, we are told that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. The Lord Jesus was in Jericho, and then there was a man of small stature by name of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus must have heard much about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one occasion that he did not want to miss. So we are told that he climbed onto a tree, a sycamore tree, and then when the Lord came by, he wants to have a good glimpse of him. And it's very interesting. In verse 5, we are told that when the Lord Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, why did I say it's interesting? Remember, it was Zacchaeus who wanted to see Jesus. Okay. And then in verse 5, we are told that when Jesus came by, he looked up. Now, apparently, Jesus knew someone was up there in the tree. And I think we can assume, and it's right to assume, that the Lord knew, right? Being an all-knowing Son of God, he knew that there was this man waiting for him. Okay, and so he looked up, and he saw him, and then he says, make haste, come down. And then the next thing he said is equated to a self-invite. Now, why did I say that? He says, for today I must abide at your house. Okay? I can't say that to you. I cannot say, I today must abide in your house. Huh? You must invite me. But then here you have the Lord making a self-invitation. For today I must abide at your house. Now, when we look at this phrase, I think we can understand it in two ways. The Son of God, in his all-knowing mind, okay, said first of all, that I want to go to your house. Alright? And I'm going to tell you the gospel. And I know that you're going to get saved. So I want to be at your house. Now, it is not just merely going to his house, to the very place that Zacchaeus stayed. I would say that the Lord says, I want to come into your house, into your life, into your heart. I want to be your Savior. Apparently, this man, Zacchaeus, is ready to accept the Lord. So, verse 6 says, he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. Now, I do see something here that this man must have think through again and again who is Jesus, this man whom he heard had been healing, had been reaching out to people, doing good, and yet at the same time he's much evil spoken of by the Pharisees and the religious teachers. And somehow Zacchaeus must have said in his heart, you know, I want to know this man. I want to accept him as what some people have said of him. He is the Messiah. So he received the Lord Jesus joyfully. Okay. Then for time's sake, I want to jump to verse 9. Verse 9 says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come into this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. So Zacchaeus is a Jew, son of Abraham. Then verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which are lost. So the Lord Jesus now speaks of himself. And he says, the Son of Man is come, and he wants to do this, to seek and to save them that are lost. Now, the immediate context will be Zacchaeus, right? So, Jesus coming this way into Jericho was not a coincidence. You know, it is not that it was an unplanned kind of trip into Jericho. He had planned to come into Jericho. Why? Just for the sake of this one man, Zacchaeus. So verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save them that are lost." So the immediate context was Zacchaeus, but the wider context is all of us today. And he's still seeking. He's still having that intention of saving them that are lost. We must continue to be the preachers of the gospel. And I hope that we are doing that. You know, this is the purpose why God has sent us into this world. And as a continuation, alright, the story continues, huh? And we have in verse 11. So this is what he said in verse 11. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." Now, I will explain this later. Okay? Then you look on in verse 12. "He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." Now, if you look at it, okay, from verse 1, then continue to verse 12. Alright? Verse 10 says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save those that are lost." And then verse 11, he started with a parable. And he says, a nobleman went into a far country. Now, you get the sense that the nobleman, or he is alluding to the fact that he is the nobleman. Alright? So he's talking about himself. Going to a far country to receive a kingdom for himself. And he will return. Okay? Now the word nobleman in the original language can mean a rich man. Okay? A prince. Alright? And you know the Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Alright? That is told to us in Isaiah. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the coming Messiah. Okay? And then, verse 13 onward, "He called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." Okay. Now, before we look at the distribution of the pounds, let me say something about verse 11. Now, we know that from the context, Jesus was in Jericho. Right? And verse 11 tells us there are 9 to Jerusalem. Now, they have traveled for several hours, probably about 4 hours. The distance between Jericho and Jerusalem is about 18 miles. Okay, so they have been traveling for about 4 hours, and now coming near to Jerusalem, right? The disciples had this thought. And the thought is this, that the Lord Jesus is now entering into Jerusalem to establish his kingdom. Now, they all know that one day the Messiah will build his kingdom in Jerusalem. And then we know that this kingdom will be a future kingdom. Right? Many of us believe that it is the millennial kingdom. So it's in the future. But they thought that Jesus is going to establish his kingdom now. And they are with him going to Jerusalem to establish this kingdom. But then verse 12 onward, the Lord is giving them, or wanting them to have a correct idea. Okay, that the kingdom will not be established at that point in time. So he says a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. So we have that sense, right? That he is going away. The Lord will be going away. And then he will return one day. Now what the disciples failed to see is this. That the scripture has prophesied of Christ's death and his ascension into heaven. And that it will take a while before he returns to establish his kingdom on earth. They fail to realize this. You know. But then the Lord wants them to see something else. Okay. And this is what he wants us to know. That while he is away, we should be doing something. So verse 13, he says, occupy till I come. Now the word occupy is a very interesting word. The root word in the original language has to do with trading. Involved in a business. So if I may translate the phrase that occupy till I come, it should be read this way. Keep on trading while I am coming. Okay. So Jesus is coming back. In other words, the sense is he's coming back is soon. He's on his way back. But then what must we be occupied with? We must be occupied with his business. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Keep on trading. Keep on being engaged in his business while he is coming back. Okay, from verses 13 onward right to the end of our text, that is verse 27, I want to just outline it simply into two parts. One, we see the distribution of pounds. And then secondly, we see the accounting for the pounds distributed. We see the distribution of pounds. He had 10 servants, and he distributed unto them 10 pounds. Not 10 pounds each, obviously, because following on, when he called to them for accounting, he says, the first person came and says, your 1 pound, I have gained 10 pounds. Okay, in other words, each servant received 1 pound. So 10 of them, 10 pounds. Now how much is 1 pound? Okay, 1 pound is equivalent to 100 denarii. 1 denarii is a day's wage during the time of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so 100 days wages. So they had about 3.5 months wages given to them. And then the Lord says, the nobleman says, go and be engaged in a business till I come, till I return. Okay. So each of them had 1 pound. Now there is another parable, and that is in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 13, we have this parable of the talent. Okay, now in this parable, we are told that one servant had 5 talents, one servant had 2 talents, and the third servant had 1 talent. Now, if we put these 2 parables together, okay, we see a truth here. Alright? First of all, the Lord does give gifts. And he gives gifts to all his children. We are his children. You see, all of us have gift given by God. All right? And then according to Matthew 25, it seems that some of us have more. You are 5 talented. Some of us have slightly less, 2 talented. And then some of us, 1 talent. Luke seems to tell us that we all have equal talent, equal pound. Now, in Luke, I see this. Okay, I see as God gives us equal opportunity. 1 pound each. So if you are 5 talented, you have opportunity to serve him. You are 2 talented, you have the opportunity to serve him. If you say you have only 1 talent, you also have the opportunity to serve him. The question is, how do you use that 1 pound? That is important. Okay. So the question this evening is this: what are we doing with the pound that God has given to us? What have we been using it for? Yeah. Obviously, the master, the nobleman, wanted them to make gain with the pound that is given to them, right? He does not want them to waste it. He wants them to use it to make gain, to make a profit, right? I mean, this is in the business world. But I think in the spiritual realm, God wants us to use our talent, right, to bear fruits for him. And in order to bear fruits for him, we have to start using the talent well. If you gain it but you don't use it, then you are not going to make any gain. Okay? We know that at the end, at the accounting, the last person came back with the same pound. He hid it. The one with the 1 talent did the same thing. He kept it. So there was no gain. Then you say, no gain, neither were there. Was there a loss? Now, remember, when it is given to you and it is not used, it's itself a loss. Right? Because if you have that talent and you are not going to use it, and you're going to use it at all, it's a loss. Right? Then there's something else that we need to understand. That when we are told to use the talent for the Lord, we are told to use it for God. Okay? And I want you to know that whatever we do, at the end of it, it is for God's glory. Alright? If you are a good doctor, skilled, okay, very intelligent in a certain class of medicine, right? You use that to heal people, you use that to win people to Christ. If we only use it for the world's good, then we are only half using the talent that God has given to us. Remember, we have to use it for God's glory. So are we using it for God's glory, or are we hiding the talent? Okay, let's come to now the accounting. Before we look at accounting, we are told in verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, I was trying to understand this verse here, and many Bible commentators say that there is a contemporary context. Okay? Because at the point of the Lord Jesus Christ's birth, we are told that King Herod wanted to kill him. That means infant Jesus, right? He told the wise man, you go and find the child where the star is. Come back and tell me. Now his intention is to kill him. Right? So the wise man, being warned of God, did not return to Herod. So after Herod's death, Joseph could have taken his family back. But we are told that Joseph did not. Why? Because he heard that Archelaus, the son of Herod, is now king over Judea. Okay? Now, at that point in time, we are told in history that the Jews did not like Archelaus. He was a wicked person. And remember, Herod and Archelaus, they were not Romans. So in order to receive the kingdom of Judea, they had to go to Rome. Okay? And then the Roman Empire will give them a certificate or something like that. Okay? To say, now, you are king over Judea. So Herod, Archelaus are only client kings. They are not the actual king, because the real emperor should be emperor of Rome, right? But they are only governors, kings in that sense, of certain area where Rome has authority over. Okay. So while Archelaus was heading to Rome to get the emperor's endorsement, history tells us that many Jews wrote a petition trying to prevent Archelaus from being king. And so the Lord Jesus says here that his citizen hated him. And then sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man, Archelaus, to rule over us. Now, looking into the life of Christ, I think we do see the same thing, right? That people did not want Christ to rule over them. You remember on the cross, they have a choice to release a criminal, to crucify Christ. So the people wanted the criminal, and they wanted Christ to be crucified. They did not want him to be king. Now I want you to see also that days prior to the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ are perilous times. Look at verse 15. It came to pass when he was returned, having received his kingdom, he commanded these servants to be called unto him. So, we are talking about days before the coming back of the nobleman. Okay? Days prior to the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul tells us are perilous times. Dangerous times. Why? Now, we are living in perilous times. Okay? And we are seeing the perils in so many forms. Okay? We are seeing that people are turning away from Christ. They are rejecting Christ. Evil seems to triumph. Somebody just reminded me. He said, do you know that Christianity is not the biggest religion? I said, obviously I know. Why? It is only an evidence that people are turning away from Christ. And there's so much evil, such that people are blinded from the truth. I was trying to tell somebody that marriage should be between a man and a woman. He says, where do you get the idea from? I says, God created Adam and Eve. He says, I got it wrong. Okay. But it's so clear in the scripture, you know. And you know what I'm talking about. So these are perilous times. Men find it so hard to accept the gospel, the truth. You tell them the truth, they become your enemy. They don't want to listen to the truth. No wonder Paul says these are perilous times. So prior to the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told that the days are perilous days, treacherous. We are told, the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, beware, men will cast you into prison. They will torture you. For what? Not because of crimes that they have committed. For believing, for preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And that was what happened in the book of Acts. The apostles were tortured, thrown into prison for preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. Now this may happen to us. I say it may. God have mercy. You know, I mean, those of us who are from Singapore, I think you can sense that preaching the gospel is getting harder today. Alright? In the past, we could go to the housing estates. Now, in Singapore, most of us lived in high-rise building. We call it flats. Alright? And then we'll go from door to door knocking and says, you know, we want to share the gospel, we want to give you a tract, a gospel tract. But today, if you do that, you may get this response. The response is not just, go away. The response is, I will report you to the police. It's getting harder. Do they have the right to report to the police? Yes. Alright, because though we have religious freedom, though we have the freedom of propagating one's belief, but very interestingly, when we start to share our faith with people of other religions, we may get this response. Okay, I will report you to the police. Now it's getting hard. So these are the time prior to the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ, the nobleman. It's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. Are we able to serve him? So, my dear brethren, I hope we will say, I will. I will continue to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll remain faithful till he returns. So now the nobleman returned and he required the servants to give an accounting of the pounds given to them. Now, in our text, there were only three responses, right? First one came and says, Master, with your 1 pound, I've gained 10 pounds. The second one says, Master, your 1 pound, I've gained 5 pounds. And then the third one says, Master, you are very austere man, very strict. Okay? I know you will not allow me to fail. And you will not be kind to me if I were to lose your 1 pound in while trading. So I thought the best way out is to keep it. And when you return, I'll give it back to you. At least I have that 1 pound to return to you. Okay? So there were only three persons, but there were 10 servants in the beginning, right? In other words, these three persons are representative of the 10. So we do not know how many of them gained 10 pounds, how many of them gained 5 pounds. But they are just representative. Okay. Now the one with 1 pound and gained 10 pounds. Now it is obvious that this person with the 10 pound has worked very hard. Right? I mean, I can't foresee that this guy is a easygoing, relaxed in doing his work, and then doesn't put in much effort, and he gain 10 pounds. I don't think. Okay, I know. that all of us know this. Okay? Hard work brings success. Right? You want to get good result, you study hard. Okay? You want to do well in your work, you do hard. You work hard. And that is the principle. So you can see that this man must have worked very hard. And he gained 10 pounds. So the other man came. And I want to tell you that he works also very hard. And he gains 5 pounds. Why do I know that he works very hard? Now, probably he has some kind of limitation. I only assume. Okay? And he's not able to gain 10 pounds. But he gains 5 pounds. In other words, he works very hard, trying to gain maximum result. But he managed to get 5. Now to these two persons, the master said the same thing to them. You have been faithful. You are a good servant. Okay? The master would not have said, you are better than him. Or, this one is not as good as the other one. Both of them received the same commendation. They work hard. Okay. So what I want you to see is this, that sometimes, you know, we are very concerned with, if I serve the Lord, will I be successful? You know, will my church be a big church? Will the congregation grow? I think the results are in God's hand. Okay. We are instrument for God to use. And if we are willing to be used by God, then there will be results. It results in 10 pounds, it results in 5 pounds. If the man who had 1 pound worked hard and at the end received only 1 pound, I'm quite sure the Lord would say the same thing to him. You are faithful. But unfortunately, the one who gained 1 pound did not add another pound. So God says, he's an unfaithful servant. I think the key idea here is this, that we must work. We must serve the Lord Jesus Christ, our Master. We must produce result for Him. Now I want you to see that each time when the scripture talk about the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ and our preparation for His return, it is always work. Work. We should be serving Him. Be faithful to Him. Right? That's why you have Luke 19 here, Matthew 25. Right? And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we are told to work. And let our work be good work. If our work is not good, you'll be like hay, wood and stubble. And when it's tested by fire, they are completely burned. Our work must be of silver, must be of gold, silver and precious stone. In other words, it must be good work. Work that can be tested by fire. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 tells us that all of us one day must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will be judged according to our work. So, He is coming back. We are going to meet Him for judgment. And our judgment will be according to our work. See, so, what are we doing? And what we are doing now is important. Because it affects us in the day of judgment. Yes, we will not be judged by our sin. Right. Our sins are taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ. But we will be judged by our work. Do we have good work that can stand the test of fire? Can we say that we will definitely be commended by the Master when He returns? And if we want to do good work, we must start now. You know, we cannot say, I wait while the master is at the door outside. Huh? Okay. Approaching home, and then I start doing the work. No. We must start doing it now. The nobleman says, occupy till I come. Keep on trading. It starts at a moment when you knew the command to trade. Now, we must start doing. Now, and then the master said to the man who gained 10 pounds, he says, I'll make you ruler over 10 cities. Now, I just want to make a short note on this. We must not overstretch the statement there. Okay, because there are some people who say, oh, you know, during the millennial kingdom, you know, Jesus is going to make this faithful man to rule over 10 cities. The Bible did not say that. Okay, we are not told that we who serve Jesus Christ will rule over 10 cities, 5 cities, 1 city. No. Okay, so we should not overstretch the interpretation of it. Okay, but what I want you to see is that you will be rewarded. There will be rewards. Okay, so 10 pounds, 5 pounds, they will have their reward. The 1 pound who did nothing loses his reward. There will be no reward. Okay. So you say, should I work for reward? Now, looking at this parable, I say, you must work for reward. But if you work merely for reward, sometimes I am fearful that we might lose the reward. Okay? We work for the master who is going to reward us. Get this right, huh? Work for the master who is going to reward us. Okay? And there will be reward. And then I want you to look at verse 27. Verse 27 says, but those my enemies, which were not that I should reign over them, bring them hither, and I will slay them. Okay. Now before I say that, remember those who receive pounds, again we must not overstretch and say, you know, the last one with 1 pound or 1 talent, because they were not engaging in business for the master. And so they lose the reward. Now they lose their reward. Okay? We should not assume that they lose their salvation, because there is no indication of such. Understand? Because an unbeliever, no matter how he serve, so-called serve Jesus Christ, there will be no reward. Because his judgment will be a different judgment. Right? So, those who receive these pounds and talents are believers. Likewise with those who receive talents. They are believers. So all of us here are believers. We have the pound, we have the talent. Use it wisely. Use it for God's glory. But then there's another group of people. Okay? This group are the enemies. In other words, they are people who rejects the Savior. They reject Jesus Christ. And we are told that they will face judgment. And the judgment will be different from those who receive pounds and talent. I believe none of us here belong to the group in verse 27. So we are all in the group of people who have pounds, who have talents. My question again is this. How are we using these gifts that God has given to us? None of us are worthy. No servant could say to the nobleman, you know, I'm such a good person, so capable. You give me 1 pound, I'm going to gain 10. You give me 2, I'm going to gain 20. Now, none of us are worthy. But God, in His graciousness, has given us gifts. Use it wisely. Use it for God's glory. Use it so that others can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Master returns, we are going to hear Him say, "Thou good and faithful servant." So my brethren, may all of us be found faithful on that day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Coming back to the topic of my message, occupy till I come. Keep on trading. Starts now. Okay? Doing the work of God till the Lord Jesus Christ comes. His return is sure. One of the last verses in the Bible says, "Surely I come quickly." Surely! And He says, "Quickly." Are you ready? Then let us serve Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this parable, reminding us of the necessity of preparing for the Lord's return. We thank You for this great truth that You are coming back and Your return is imminent. Lord, I pray that all Your children would occupy themselves ready when You come back. Help us, O dear God. Forgive us if in any way we have been found slothful. Pray that we will be diligent in doing the work of the ministry that You have entrusted to us. Give You thanks, asking this in Jesus' name. Amen.